It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, September 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, near the city of Porto, Portugal, a group of international experts are gathering for the eGov conference. Run by the International Federation for Information Processing, the conference's goals include figuring out how technology can forward the democratic process. One of the speakers is Scott Hale. He joins me on the line from the UK. Hi, Scott. What does technology do for the democratic process in 2016?
It's changed in a number of ways. One is that it's opened up new avenues of participation. Signing a petition online or posting some political content, tiny acts that collectively can really add up.
Are the social media platforms that we think of good at pushing forward the democratic process?
Yeah, I think a lot of our social media platforms weren't designed with deliberation or the democratic process in mind. People who disagree on policy don't necessarily have to come in contact with each other. I think one interesting example of a platform that does force people to come together is Wikipedia. There aren't separate articles for those who support climate change and those who don't believe in human-caused climate change. But they have to agree on text of one article, and it may not be perfect, but it at least puts them in dialogue with one another.
Does social media action online tend to lead to action in real life?
Most of the mobilizations, most attempts at collective action that we study tend to fail. They tend just to not get off the ground, or in the case of something like the Arab Spring, they may leave a bit of a leadership vacuum because they don't have the traditional organizations behind them ready to step in and assume power. I will say, I think there are exciting things happening here in Europe as well. There are sort of new parties that are coming out. So Podemos in Spain was a party that really began on social media, but it also morphed into more than simply online discussion to actually take that form of a political party.
Scott Hale is a data scientist at the Oxford Internet Institute in the UK. Scott, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Quick tech PSA for you. If you are the owner of a new Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and you have heard the stories of the phones spontaneously combusting, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is yes, the company is doing a worldwide recall of the devices after reports of at least 35 phones catching fire while charging. The bad news is that it isn't totally clear what owners should do just yet, except probably don't leave the phone plugged in while you're not around, or also while you are around. Company says if you're worried about the device, contact the carrier or the nearest Samsung service center using someone else's phone. This week marks 50 years since television viewers across America first heard this. Yep, say what you will, but Star Trek has had a huge influence on techies, the gadgets they've designed, the world and the universe they have imagined. So we are marking the franchise's birthday all this week. Set your phasers to listen. Today we're kicking things off with Mark Altman, known by some as the world's foremost Trekspert. He just released the second part of his Star Trek oral history, titled The 50-Year Mission, the complete uncensored, unauthorized oral history of Star Trek. Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, Ben, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So if you had to describe Star Trek, the show, the franchise, to an alien species, how would you do that?
I would say it is a show that gives us a lens into the future in which mankind has grown technologically, but also, in the words of Dr. King, appeals to the better angels of our nature, and hopefully it's prescient.
Since the beginning, it seems like the show has used sci-fi and technology as a buffer to discuss kind of tough topics happening in modern days. Can you talk about an episode that paralleled some of the issues in our world?
There are episodes like A Taste of Armageddon in the first season where there's a war going on between two planets, but there's no destruction. People are asked to walk into disintegration chambers and die if they're deemed by a computer as a casualty. And the reason for that is it's a way that they can protect their culture and their civilization without having the damage and destruction caused by a real war.
I've given you back the horrors of war. The Vendicans will now assume that you've broken your agreement and that you're preparing to wage real war with real weapons. They'll want to do the same. Only the next attack they launch will do a lot more than just count up numbers on a computer.
This is an allegory, in a way, for what was going on in Vietnam, where Walter Cronkite would come on TV and talk about the statistics of how many people died in Vietnam that day. And it was, in a way, to many, a war by computer. And, it was a proxy fight.
Do you touch on the origin story of any technology that is well known in the show?
So a lot of the technology originally seen in Star Trek anticipates maybe not 300 years from now, but it anticipated 30 or 40 years from now, because we did see a diagnostic sick bay medical technology, sliding doors. You didn't even see it at supermarkets at the time.
Sliding doors. That's really interesting.
You know, Star Trek introduced the idea of this device from a planet. You could communicate with the ship. You flipped it open. It made a cool sound. And that was a huge influence on cell phones and mobile phones. There's really nothing that Star Trek depicted that is completely beyond the realm of possibility.
Mark Altman, he is co-author of the Star Trek Oral History, The 50-Year Mission, The Next 25 Years from the Next Generation to J.J. Abrams. Mark, thanks a lot for coming by.
It was a pleasure talking to you about The Final Frontier.
Tell us about a film or episode that resonated with you. Call 304-87-TECH-1. We might play your captain's log entry on the air. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.